Yes,
Yeah,
turn on
I'm
recording.
thinking.
Okay, so you're being recorded, so don't say anything you don't want to go onto the internet forever. And we are looking at right now, so basically the end of David's life. This is Divrei Yamim, last time talking about David giving the plans for this future Beit HaMikdash to Shlomo. He's got this big ceremony. They crown Shlomo as the next king, and then David turns to the people. This is the beginning of Divrei Yamim, Perek Chaf Tet. David HaMelech l'kol kahal. David tells all of the people. Oh, they lost Leah. L'kol kahal, Shlomo b'ni, Echad, my son Shlomo. He's only one person. Bachar lo Elokim. He's been chosen by God, but Na'ar Barach, he's a little kid, he's young, he's naive, he's tender. There's a lot of work ahead of him. Because I'll say he was 12 years old at this point, which I think fits in the general sense of the text here. And he's going to be the next king. Hamlacha gadola, there's a lot of work to do. Ki lo la'adam habira, because this bira, which we'll translate as tower, isn't for people, ki la'Hashem Elokim, but it's there for God. And it's an interesting word, bira, which I guess in modern Hebrew would be the capital, castle, what bira is, but it only appears in the post-exilic books.
Where does
Bira.
it
Okay, we know it from Esther, right? Because that's
appear,
Shebe
Danny?
HaMelech Asher b'Shushan HaBirah, that Shushan,
Yeah.
capital of Persia, is called the Bira,
Let
the capital. Or Nehemiah. Similarly, says this is the story of Nehemiah and the Chodesh Kislev, Ani Iti b'Shushan HaBirah. He was living in Shushan the Bira. Again, doesn't appear in any of the earlier books of Tanakh at all. And then Nehemiah also talks about, here in source four, about Sever Chani, Achi, Hanania, Sar HaBirah, Al Yerushalayim. And I gave commands to Hanani and to Hananiah, who is the in charge of the Bira of Yerushalayim. So it only refers to Shushan and Yerushalayim. And the other suggestion that Bira is a Persian loanword. If it only appears after the Israel had been in Persia, then maybe it comes from the Persian. Again, Divrei Yamim is written by Ezra after they've come back from Persia. And I tried to learn something about Farsi as best I could. The word for tower is Burj, as in the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world. And so maybe that's what they got. It literally means a tower in Persian, and they're Ezra and Nehemiah using that for Yerushalayim in the sense of the Beit HaMikdash is the same, Bira. But Liebtech has a different way of looking at it. He says, no, Bira, maybe Persian word, but it refers to Yerushalayim. David is going to build the Lola Adama Bira Kila Hashem. This Beit HaMikdash is going to be the Bira. Well, in Esther, when they use the term Shushan Bira, that's an ironic reference to the fact that the Jews were so assimilated. That's where he looks at that. You look at the Megillah Esther as being almost a satire. That they've The HaMelech goes from being God to being Achashverosh. They replaced the Beit HaMikdash with Achashverosh Palace, and now it's Yerushalayim HaBirah, has now been replaced with the Shushan HaBirah in the time of Megillah Esther. But David
Could
wants to
maybe
build
that
this
have a
Bira.
connection to the fact that all the Kalim were brought back to Shushana Virah or something like that?
Right, so that's another reference to this idea that it's not so much that Achashverosh is doing this, is the fact that the Jews have gotten to the point where they're so assimilated that they consider the Bira, their capital, as being Shushan. And there's a famous comment by the Meshech Chachma that says sort of the same thing. Everyone always quotes this. This is the Meshech Chachma writing this in probably 1880s, 1890s. The Omat Yeshuv Lemar Sheka Nachlo Avotenu, that are my countrymen here in, I guess he's in Lithuania, say that our ancestors left us lies by Yisraeli b'chlal, and all the Jews will entirely yishkach machasavto. They'll forget their aim, their destination. V'yachshov le'ezrach ranam. They'll think to themselves as natives of whatever country they're in. Yazov limedei dato, and they'll abandon learning about their own religion. V'lumod l'shanot lo lo, and they'll be learning in other languages. V'yachshov ki Berlin hi Yerushalayim. Everyone quotes, and they'll start thinking that Berlin is Jerusalem. And then us, Yabo Ruach Sarah Basar. And if that happens, then there'll be a terrible storm throughout Europe. The Akaratum because oh, and they'll be uprooted. They'll be placed in exile. Yadek Yuger, and they'll know that they're a stranger. That if they get so assimilated, then anti-Semitism will increase, and Berlin will no longer be Yerushalayim. Seeing this, I guess, 30, 40 years before the Holocaust. That's what happened. But that's what the danger of it being a bira, simply being a building. It's a tower, but that'll be can be replaced with other towers. So David's got to be careful that this bira that he's building remains as a center for service of Hashem. It has to be the Beit Elohim, as he says. It's lola adama bira ki l'Hashem Elohim. So then David continues in the parak and he says, I've gotten all this money. And this is source 7. Kol chochi, with all my might, hachinoti lebeit elokai, I have gathered together for the sake of this house of my God. Azahav lazahav. I have the gold for making all the gold stuff. Lakesef lakesef, and the silver for making the silver stuff. Vanachoshet lanachoshet. Barzel, barzel, bronze to making bronze, the iron for the iron, etzim la etzim, and wood for the wood. Avne shoham, uim, I have all these precious stones. Avne puch, some other kind of precious stones. Rikman tapestries called Eben Yakara, Avne shesh, and larov, lots of marble. We've gotten all this stuff together. We can build this Beit Mikdash. And he points out that he has hazahav lazahav. He has gathered together the gold for making the gold thing. Because he's got plans, and they include making things out of gold and silver, but they might not be able to afford that. We'll see that throughout Tanakh, that they end up having to substitute. Now, the menorah, the Aron is supposed to be made out of gold, but that's not always what happens. So this is in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yudalid, under the rule of Rechavam. So two generations later, after the kingdom splits, the country's invaded by the Egyptians. It was the fifth year of Rechavam. The king of Egypt comes, Al Yerushalayim invades Yerushalayim, and he plunders the storehouses of the Beit Mikdash and the storehouses of the king. He takes everything. And he took all the gold, literally the gold shields, decorative gold plates that are on the Beit Midash that Shlomo made. The Rechavam replaced them with bronze. David wants Zahav or Zahav. Now they've got Nechoshet or Zahav for the gold things. And he has them guarded by the guards in the Beit Midash. That's all he can afford. He can't replace them with gold. And we have a well-known halacha in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, that you're not supposed to make things that are similar to the Kalim of the Beit Hamikdash. Kitanya. Leah said, Beit Tamita Kechal, you can't make a building that's similar to the Beit Hamikdash. You can't make Kalim, you can't make a menorah that's supposed to look like the menorah in the Beit Hamikdash. I just have eight branches, which is fine. Rabbi Yossi Behor Omer, Afshel Eitz Lo Yaseh, you can't even make it out of wood. Not gold. Because that's what the Chashmonaim did. After they conquered the Beit HaMikdash and they lit their menorah was not a gold menorah. That had already been plundered. They said, Shpudim shel barzel. They took spits, poles of iron, and they stuck them into a board of wood. That was the original menorah from the time of Hanukkah. Asum shel hashira, but as soon as they could afford it, they got a little bit richer. Asum shel kesef, they made all the kalim out of silver. Hazru hashira, and as the kingdom became more wealthy, asum shel zahav, they could actually bring them back to gold. And Yeshaya's vision of this future Beit HaMikdash, after the Chorban would come back, that we'll actually be able to afford to build the things the way they were intended. He says, Tachat HaKochet B'Zahav, instead of the bronze that you've had to build with, we'll have gold, you'll have gold. Tachat HaBarzel B'Kesef, instead of the iron, you'll have silver. Tachat HaYitzim L'Choshet, instead of wood, you'll have bronze. Tachat HaBanim Barzel, instead of the stone, you'll have iron. Samti Pekaret. And I will establish peace and justice for you. That's the Yimot Mashiach. We'll actually be able to afford to build this Beit HaMikdash correctly. So David is at that point. He's got enough gold. We can do this right. None of the substitutions. And not only that, he goes on, we can afford to build it. Besides the actual materials for making out of gold and silver, we actually have money. It continues, and the degree which I wanted to build this house, I have set aside treasures of gold and silver, and I've set aside for this house of my God more than what I had prepared beforehand. The Beit HaKodesh, all this, the materials that I set aside, I've got more. I have set aside 3,000 talents, which is like 3,000 grams each. So a couple $1,000,000, right? Gram of gold is like $1,000.
A gram is worth what?
How much is a gram of gold now? It's like $1,000 an ounce.
Yeah.
It's like $400. Wow. So you've got $1,000,000 there. So $400 million or so of Zahav Ophir, fine gold from Ophir. The Shivat Alafim Kikar Kesef, and 7,000 talents of silver, Mizakik, that was pure silver, Batuach Kiyot Batim, we can even plate the walls of the house. Not be wood anymore, we can actually plate it with gold. So David says, I want this so much. I want this to be built. I took not only what I set aside for the Beit Midash, but any money that I have, I've set it aside. We're going to give it all to Beit Midash. Beit Hashem. But despite all that, you know that when Shlomo actually builds the Beit Midash, he doesn't use that gold and silver. This is the way it's described. Five Frakim now. Shlomo is king. He spent all this time. He's built the Beit Midash. And the work is all done. And Shlomo took and brought all everything that David had set aside. Bet Kesef, all the silver, Bet Azahav and the gold, that Kol HaKelim and everything that he had made. Natan Barsot Beit Elokim, put in the storehouses. Doesn't end up using all that. David's setting it aside. He's very proud of how much money he's got. That's not what Shlomo used. We've talked about this before, but what happens here? This is the Yalkut Shimoni. That Shlomo set aside what David had accumulated. Why didn't he need them? Why didn't he use them at all? And Misha Dorish the Ganai, and you can interpret negatively, Al Shabahar Abime David, because there was a famine in the time of David, Shloshanim for 3 years. This is in Shmuel Bet, Perak of Tet. David had a couple of options. What could he do? As there's a famine, there's a drought, people are starving. That he could have gathered all the silver and gold that he could have taken the silver and gold that he gathered. That had been set aside for Beit Midash. What he should have done was taken it out. To get food to feed the people. And we saw that that's not what happens, and he ends up going to war and invading the other countries, and we end up with David, who's spills blood and has all these wars. Well, okay, that's not what he did. He was so focused on Beit Midash, he didn't want to open up those storehouses. So Hashem tells him, my children are starving, Batatsober Mamon with no Bo Binyan, and you're keeping all this money here to build a building? Yeah, I swear God says, in Shlomo Nisrach Mehem Klum. Shlomo's not going to need that at all. So David seems to have a blind spot here. He really wants to build a Beit Midrash. It's for the sake of Hashem. But he doesn't realize that when Hashem says, you know, Lo tivneh bayit lishmi, ki ish melchamota atav, damim shafachta, and he'll say that. He doesn't really understand what that implies.
Danny, you have you ever been to the Vatican?
I have never been to the Vatican.
Okay, so I went to the Vatican, you know, just to see what it looks like and everything. It's filled with gold. Like, if
I'm
you
sure.
look up in the ceiling, you'll see all these, like, things that hang off the ceiling, like, dripping with gold and art and statues. And it's like, to me, it's such a turnoff. Like, here you have hungry people in the world and all this stuff, and here's this like really garish building with all this. I mean, like, if it was wall to wall carpeting, it's wall to wall ceiling, like dripping with gold.
And that's kind of what they're planning for the Beit HaMikdash too, which is a kind of, yeah, that's. You read the description. It does seem garish. I'm not sure what that does. I mean, it's supposed to be an impressive building.
Was the Mishkan, was that like filled with gold also?
So the walls were curtains.
Okay.
But the curtains were made with gold thread, intertwined,
but
as
that's
it
a lot
were.
different than having actual gold
And
dripping off
the
the ceiling.
krashim, the boards, were actually plated with gold.
Oh, so it was
All the
pretty cool.
balls. Yeah, so there was a lot of gold involved there too.
Okay.
That's a thing. And I mean, and we can talk about whether it's meant to be impressive.
Also, the people may have been using the gold for themselves or using it for Hashem instead. Like, it's, you know, it's not like that gold would necessarily have been done for something good.
Yeah.
But the Midrash here is pointing out that there was a better purpose. They could have, rather than go to war to get food from other countries. Full
Right.
Of capitalism, they could have bought it.
Right.
You know, somewhere in Shmuel, you know, God says to David, I'm going to build a house for you.
Right. Well, that's talking about his dynasty, right? David's at that point, right? He's got a son, and he's been promised that this son will build this house. That's what he wants. But we're going to move on, right? Because after David describes how much money he's got, right,
yeah.
You've got this 3,000 kikar of gold and 7,000 kikar of silver, and we've got everything set for the kelim themselves. And then what he does at that point is he asks people for more donations. Okay, this is an appeal. Very Jewish thing. He says, lazahav, lazahav, we have the gold for all the gold things, lakesef, lakesef, we have gold for making the silver things. And everything needs to be done, it's in the hands of the craftsman. Who here feels generous to donate more for God? And so all the heads of the families and the tribes and the leaders, the judiciary, the highest of the thousands, the hundreds, and of all the cabinet positions, they all donate. Right? Not all of them, but new level that Beit Elokim, and they donated to the service of this house. Zahav kikarim, chamesha alfim, another 5,000 kikar of gold, but adrachnim, ravo, and 10,000 adrachnim, which everyone translates as some kind of coins. Rashi actually uses the word that. Equivalent to drachmas, which is Greek. I'm not sure if Greek coins had any meaning at this point in time. This may have for Ezra did, but they gave lots. You know, everyone gave their spare change.
What do you mean, weak coins?
Greek coins.
Oh,
a
Greek
drachma
coin.
Is a Greek coin.
Oh.
The question is what adrachnim is. It's a hephaiphlegmon.
Sounds like
you
a Greek word,
is, right? You remember the word, the phrase hephaiphlegmon means it only appears here. They donated coins. The Kesef Kigarim, Aser Alafim, and 10,000 more Kikar of silver. This is all donated by the people. Nechesed, Revo, Shmona Alafim, and then 18,000 kikarim of bronze. Ubarzel, Mea, Elef kikarim, and 100,000 kikar of iron. All that was donated. Vimsaito Avanim, and anyone who had precious stones, the new Otzer Beit Hashem were given to the storehouses, Ade Yechiel HaGershani, to the Levi who's in charge of the storehouses, they donated more. Am al Hitnalvam, and everyone was overjoyed at their generosity. Kibalev Shalem Hitnavula Hashem, because they gave a full heart. Gam David HaMelech Samach Simcha Gadolah, and David was also overjoyed that everyone had donated. So the question is, why did they need more donations? He says, I got enough, we got plenty of money. He says he has enough. I think the reason is that he really wants this Beit Midrash to be built by everybody. It's not his personal storehouse building. It was created by the donations of all the people. Same reason the original Mishkan was made from donations. Right? That's what Hashem said. The Barel Bnei Yisrael, the Chuli Truma. You need to talk to Bnei Yisrael and you need to take a gift from them. From everyone who feels the generosity, will take these donations. And then it was done. When it was done, the pasuk says, that the work was enough to do all the work. Remember that malacha here is not just the actual work that was done, but the act of giving was a malacha. That's why we can't carry on Shabbos, because the act of carrying stuff to the Mishkan was a malacha. It was enough to do everything for Hoter, and there was more. So Rashi asks, how can it be enough but more? So the Or HaChaim says on this, what does it mean that the work was enough for all of the malacha and there was more? And he says, Ulai Shishu'ino Katu. The pasuk here is telling us, Kibap b'nei Yisrael b'nei Makom, how much God loved the Jewish people. Yotzad Sheviu Yisrael Yoter Mishur HaTzariach. Because the people were generous and they gave more than that was necessary. They gave more gold, more silver, more wool, more wood than they needed. But Hashem lechvod kol ish, Hashem cared about the honor, the pride of every person. Shetarchu beviu, because someone brought something, they made something, they built it. Asko muva beit Hashem, and they brought it to be donated to the Mishkan, the Melachah Mishkan. Hashem said, we're going to include everything. We're going to incorporate, doesn't matter. If someone donated, we're going to incorporate that into the final Mishkan. Zeshur Ketuv, that's what it means, the pasuk means. But it says, b'malcha, meaning the work, asher tziva Hashem laso b'mishkan, that the work that was commanded, all these detailed plans, ispika likanes b'tocha, actually was able to accommodate kol m'lacha shasu b'nei Yisrael, everything that b'nei Yisrael had done. You don't turn anybody away, but you know, we got enough. Even though there was more than they may have needed, that even that was extra, more than they needed, that when it was actually built, said it was a miracle that they actually incorporated everything. And if they necessarily need a miracle for that, or just the fact that everyone got along well enough was a miracle. But Sam said, no, we need to use everything there. We need to use everything that was donated. That everything they brought was enough. Nothing was left over. Nothing was missing. Even though they had more than they needed. Still, that nothing was left over. So too, David wants to say, I want the donations because it's got to be part of the community as a whole. Everyone has to feel part of this. Because that's what the Beit Mikdash is all about. The idea is Vasuli Mikdash, you'll make the Mikdash, but Shachati B'tocham and Hashem will be part of Bnei Yisrael as a whole. It's not the building. That's not the important part. The important part is the that sense of community, the sense of that I had a piece of this as well. So for that, it's worth having it fancy and having gold in there as well. If you say, yep, that was mine. I don't know if everybody had a little plaque, you know, screwed on there. This screw donated by the Wachstock family of St. Louis. So he sets up the building fund, Tinila Perik, and David concludes with a bracha of thanksgiving. And poor Leah keeps losing her connection. So, by Vartavita Tashem Lene Kalkal. David blesses everybody, blesses Hashem in front of everybody. After they made the announcement, they've gotten done the appeal, they've gotten the commitments to the pledges, they're going to build this. David says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, and David's the one who invented the form of our brachot. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokei Yisrael Avinu, God of Israel, our Father. It's not just Israel as a whole. This is talking about Yaakov specifically. Literally from one world to the next. This is going on forever. But he's specifically addressing Elokei Yisrael, Yisrael Avinu. As the Medrash says, okay, Abraham Yitzchak Yisrael Eino Omer. God, he doesn't say, like we say in Shemoneh Esrei, okay, Abraham, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov. It's Elokei Yisrael specifically. Elokei Yisrael Avinu. Specifically, he is dedicating this tefillah to Yisrael. Tell at neder b'misha patach lo b'tchilah. He's attributing this back. He's calling back to the one who initially committed to building this Beit Hamikdash. There will be six 600 years earlier or so, when Yaakov leaves Canaan to go to Haran. He says, "Vayida Yaakov neder lemor." Yaakov swore. He said, "Mi Elokim adi, if God is with me, Shemarani baderech hazeh, and guards and protects me on this way that Asher nochi olech, where I'm going, lechem lachol, begu labosh, gives me food to eat, clothing to wear, ve'evan azov." So then this stone, Asher samti matzeva, that I've set up as a pillar, yeh beit Elokim. That was the original neder. The original, Yaakov is going to build a Beit Elokim.
What's that rock called that he slept on? And isn't there like...
That's Beit El.
No, but is it Evan HaShetiach or something like that?
No, Evan HaShetiach is the rock that's in the center of the Beit HaMikdash. Right now the center of the dome. That is the rock of the Dome of the Rock.
Yeah, but...
not this rock.
It's not this rock. Okay.
No, the rock that the Yaakov is in Beit El.
Okay.
Okay, and we've talked about why we end up choosing Yerushalayim as the place of Beit HaMikdash rather than Beit El. That's a whole another discussion. Okay. Yaakov says, I'm going to build the Beit Elokim here. Beit El, where the Mishkan was set up in Shiloh, that probably was that site of Beit El.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's Rav Medan, and he's got a... I think it makes a lot of sense how you proved that. But at least here, it's not in that place, but it is the building.
Why does he say Yisrael?
I'm sorry, as opposed to Yaakov?
Yeah. Why shouldn't he use the same lashon here because it was Yaakov there?
I don't know. I mean, Yisrael is
used. I know they're interchanged, but it seems like...
Right. I mean, Yaakov is generally used as the name for Galut. That's his pre-name. Yisrael is the name when we're back in our land. You see that kind of going back and forth in Bereshit, Vayeshev, that when he goes down to Egypt, he starts out as Yisrael, and then Hashem says, no, you're going down there, and they're going to be slaves. This is the point where they're going to be slaves, and you'll eventually come back. Then he turns into Yaakov. He's called Yaakov at that point.
Okay, so since this is David,
this is the point where we're coming back. This is the goal. This is Yimot Mashiach, right? I'm not going to do it, but Shlomo is Yimot Mashiach. This is the end times. I'm going to build the Beit HaMikdash and everything's going to be perfect. I mean, it doesn't work that way. We know that. But this idea that he's specifically going back to Yisrael, to Yaakov, is expressed in Tehillim as well. This is in the Shir HaMalot. And Perak Kuflam Bet, which is Shir HaMalot, Zachor Hashem David Kol Anvato. God, remember David's humility. Asher Nishbal Hashem, when he swore to God, Neder Lavir Yaakov, an oath to the mighty one of Yaakov. Again, specifically, this is the God of Yaakov. It's how Yaakov related to Hashem. David's doing, this is what I'm doing. Yaakov is the one who wants to build the Beit Elokim. I'm going to do it. And he swears, I swear that I will not go into my house. I will not go and get into my bed. I will not sleep. I will not let my eyes rest until I find a place. for God, Mishkanot Lav Yaakov, this a dwelling again for the mighty one of Yaakov, that is connecting himself back to Yaakov. That's his bracha. Bracha to Hashem Elokei Yisrael Avinu. And the text of the bracha is familiar because we say that part of Pesukim Zimra. Lacha Hashem Hagedula, Vagevurah, Vatiferah, Vanetzach, Vahod, Kichol Bat Shemayim Va'aretz, Lacha Hashem HaMlacha, Vaminaseh Lachol Rosh. God, for you, to you belongs all the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the splendor, everything that is in heaven and earth. Yours is the kingship and rulership over all, any other leader. We know that pasuk. All the time. Osher v'kavod mofanecha, and wealth and glory belong to you. Atash Moshe Bako, and you rule over everything. V'yadcha koch v'ra, you're powerful. Yadcha l'gadel l'chazek l'ko, and you give strength to everything else. So, v'ata lokeinu, modim anachnu lach. You know that expression? Say, modim, and now God, we thank you. We acknowledge that we owe everything to you. And we praise your glorious name. Because who am I? Who are my people here? That we have gotten enough strength together to have dedicated this much. Because everything really belongs to you, and this is yours that we're just giving back to you. Excuse me a moment, there's a dog on the All right. Dogs can't handle door handles. Because we're just strangers. Or you have touch of him, but and we're just temporary dwellers here on earth, just like our ancestors. It's Yom Ha'aretz, that our lives are like the shadow of Ein Mikveh, that there is no hope. Time, we are gone. Shem Elokeinu, so God, Kol Amonazeh, all this wealth, Asher Chininu Livnot Lecha, Bayit L'Shem Kodshecha, that we have put together to build this for you. Miyadcha Hu Lecha Kol, this really is yours. We're just offering it back to you, because everything is yours. Yadati Elokei, and I know, O God, Ki Ata B'chan Lavav, U'Misharim Tirtzeh, that you examine hearts, and you want us to be straight, honest. And you, so you know that I, in the goodness of my heart, I have donated all of this, dedicated all of this. And now all your people who are here, and I can see that they are donating as well. You know that we're not doing this for you, us, this is for you. Hashem, okay, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yisrael. So now he goes back and says, okay, God of the Avot, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yisrael, Tenu, Shamra, Zot, Le'olam, Yetzer, Mashvot, Levav, Amecha. You have been waiting for this day. You've been preparing for this, oh God, forever. And you have formed the thoughts of your people. You've guided us to this point. V'chein, Levav, Amelecha, and you have made us, you brought our hearts to you. So, Shlomo b'ni, ten levav shalem. So please, God, give my son Shlomo the same wholeheartedness, the shmor mitzvotcha, to keep your commandments, edotecha, b'chukecha, your laws, asara kol ivnot ha-birah asher chinoti, that you should do this and build this birah, as you said, this tower that I have prepared here. So God, this is all yours, right? It's not really ours. We were just watching it for a while, and now we're giving it back. And I want to focus first of all on the first psukim, the ones we all know. And the Gemara in that says that these are all different things that have very specific meaning. What are these? All these midot that we attribute to God. This is the Gemara Brachot here. Matnida Tana Mishmed Rabbi Akiva. There's a brayta that says Rabbi Akiva, L'cha Hashem Gedula, Zukri Yamsut. They say Hashem has Gedula. This is referring to the miracles of Kriyat Yam Suf. Agvurah is a Makot Bechorot. That was a manifestation of with the Makot. Tiferet Zuma and Torah. Netzach Zu Yerushalayim. Behold Zu Beit HaMikdash. What does that mean? Maharal tries to understand this and says that each of these terms refers to different midah of Hashem. And Kilo Balamar, Ki Mitzad Gudulato, Haya Kriyat Yam Suf, that Hashem's greatness was manifest at Kriyat Yam Suf when they split the sea. Chi Briya Grumura. So that was a manifestation of creation. That's what Gudula means. And when the Maharal talks about Kriyat Yam Suf being an act of creation, and this is from notes of Yeshua Hartman, who actually came from St. Louis, but he's the one who did all the editing of all the Maharal's writings. And if you have the Hartman edition, they're like, you know, two lines of text and then 40 lines of footnotes there. That's fascinating. But the Maharal always makes a point that Kriyat Yam Suf very much was the birth of Bnei Israel, literally the breaking of the waters, and they come through. That's exactly the way he looks at it. That was the creation of Bnei Israel. Kriyat Yam Suf Nivra Habriya Akirish Bolam. That Kriyat Yam Suf was the creation of the purpose of the world. He can see Israel, which was Israel. So that's Gedula. That's the greatness. That was the act of creation, and that was evident at Kriyat Yam Suf. It's like Vratel Yitbarach Hayu Makot Bechorot. That Shem's power was evident with the Makot, God acting directly in the world, power of life and death. Mitzad Tifrato, Natan Torah Israel. The idea of Tiferet, of glory, is the Torah. Is this balance between Chesed and Din that we call Tiferet harmony? I think it's usually translated as. That's what the Torah represents. Mitzad Nitzchut Shel Hashem Yitbarach Natan Yerushalayim Anitzchut. That Netzach, sense of eternity. That's what Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim as the eternal city, and that. Yeah, as Hartman says, Ikar Eretz Yisrael, and seeing the Gabay Eretz Yisrael, Shat Torah Madishashi Nachala Nitzchit, that we have it forever. That is eternal, that never loses its sanctity, that Yerushalayim. And the Hod, again, these terms in the Psukim, Shal Hashem Yibarachi Beit HaMikdash, Shebo Hodo Hashem Yibarachi. That's where we see the glory of God. That's the Hod. And then.
So all these things remind me of. Kabbalah, don't they have those differences?
They will, right. We're going to get very much into the Kabbalah here.
Oh, I was just thinking
about yes, because that's what Gedula is, that and when this, we're going to get into this sphere right here.
Okay.
Now, I don't know anything about Kabbalah, so we'll try to make this stuff up.
I don't know about that much either, but I just know that you see the steps, you know.
You definitely have all those terms. So we will get to that. I forget that today or not. But looking back at the way he looks at, not so much that these different Gedula, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, as being different times in history where Hashem was manifest, and wow. These represent different aspects of Hashem's power, and that is exactly what the Sefirot are. So we'll connect them to the Sefirot soon enough.
Wow, okay.
But the last thing there that Hartman makes the point is that the Beit HaMikdash is the Hod Shel Hashem Yitbarach. That's what Deb is leading up to. All these other things were miracles, but some of this Beit HaMikdash is different. And he says, Nukudazu Tzarecha Bior. We have to explain this. The Bishlama, that we understand, Kol Amidot Shenizkiru Adko, that all these other Midot that we've mentioned, Kriyat Yam Suf, Makot Bechorot, Matan Torah, in both they bitui, they were expressed, Masim Shekadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo Vatzmo Asa. They're things that Hashem did. Okay? Achahot Shel Beit Midash, but the Bili Beit Midash, Hu L'chora Machma Yisrael. This is something that people did. This wasn't the building of Beit HaMikdash was not a miracle. That's something that Bnei Yisrael did. How is that the representation of Hod Hashem, splendor of God? Bishakatu Bagra, this is the way the Gra explained the Gemara. Hod Zeh Beit HaMikdash, Shem Mikdash Omrim Shirot Tishbachot. And more than that, it's not the building, it's the fact that we say Tfilot. We say Shir to Hashem in the Beit HaMikdash. That's the Hod. Bnei Yisrael Haim Elo Omrim Shirot Tishbachot. And Israel are doing that. This is not midah of God. So he says that the Maharal later on in the Kibbutz Hashem, which is Maharal's book on Siyam Mitzrayim, Arosh Perakai and Aleph, says, Ki Beit Midash Ikar Shalom, Eino Eitzim Vahanim, that the essence of the Beit Midash is not the wood, the stone, the gold, the silver. That's not what it's about. Same tefillim, etzel ikar mikdash, because those are secondary to what's really important. Yehu madriga hanivdelet sheish b'mikdash, that is the holiness that's manifest in the mikdash. Moshe tefillah guf shel adam etzel neshama, it's like the body of a person with respect to neshama. There's neshama in the Beit Midash. And that's the shir mitishbacha. Harei mal Beit Midash hi sheshechina shoreb b'binyan. That's the fact that the Shekhinah comes and you can feel the Shekhinah in this, in a building that was given out al yidei b'nei adam. It was in a building that was built by human beings. And that's the hod, that we bring the hod in there. Going back, so now we get to the Kabbalah side of it. I don't know if anyone was here last time, talking about the Beit HaMikdash being the Livnat HaSapir, the sapphire brick. At the end of the Parashat Mishpatim, the Zikanim go up and they see Hashem standing where his footrest is a brick of sapphire. And that the Malbim said that it's a brick. It's not a stone of sapphire because it's made by human beings. And the point of the sapphire, in the sense, is that it's a prism. It refracts the light of God, the glory of God, through that into all these various different colors, different ways of being seen. And that's what the sefirot are. The various ways that we understand Hashem's actions. Hashem is one. There's no division into pieces. The sefirot are there for us to understand. And so that the Beit HaMikdash acts that way, that it is the prism through which God's light is refracted in the world. And that it's called, the Midash is called the Maset Tzadikim. It's our righteous deeds. It's really, that's what's important. So later Kabbalists take those terms, you know, where it says Gedulah, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, etc., and call them Sefirot after this Livnat HaSapir that was seen. And, you know, the idea of what these Sefirot are, Inland Esek Minister, you know that is, but they're called the illuminations of God's infinite light as it manifests in creation. And this is from Wikipedia, so it's got to be right. Okay, it's revelations of the Ratzon Hashem, Sefirot are 10 different channels through which the one God reveals his will. That's the basic idea, is that this is Hashem is one, but we, as human beings, divide them up into 10 different ways, of which we call the last seven, from the lower sphero, because they're the ones that we can directly experience. And the Rasha says about this, that Pasuk here, David mentions all these seven things, according to these mitot, Shehem Zayin Sfirot, Ha'achmanot, these are the seven lower sphirot, Sidran, Mashmatuba Zeh, Chachmei Kabbalah, the Kabbalists don't know these, and we know the terms. David says, Gedulah, Karash Batzah Chesed, Vuraz Din, Tiferet Nesachot are the same names. And he says, Kol Bashmai Ba'aretz, everything that's in heaven. That's called Kabbalah Yesod. And there's Rabbi Rubin over there. We can skip that part, right? Aaron. And so I don't know that David had this kind of what we call Kabbalah, this intricate theological system in mind. I think the later Kabbalists kind of took those phrases and used them to create this whole taxonomy of Kedusha, Shekhinah manifestation. But it clearly says, and it means that everything in the world, including our existence, is a manifestation of Hashem's goodness. And he says that. And that's it's manifest in different ways, which we're going to call Gedula, Gevura, etc. So David's using those terms. We can use David's terms in order to describe that. And he ends that with Modim Anachnu, that we thank you. And our job is to acknowledge that. And to realize that as we're building this building, it's got gold, it's got silver. It's an impressive looking building that looks good on postcards. But we have to realize that it's the meaning of it. It's got a place where the Shirim Shachot, where Hashem's Maas, that the Maas Tzadikim reflect Hashem's greatness. And if they focus on the building, it'll end in disaster. And today, with a quote from Yirmiyahu, who's predicting the Churban, he says, "Al tipshchu lachem et dibrei hashekel emar." Don't believe in those lies. And they say, "Heichal Hashem." The building of God, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem. Hecha Hashem Hema. This is Beit Midash. Hashem is not going to destroy it. It's God's house. He can't destroy it. He'll protect it forever. Believe that doesn't happen. And so David has his tefillah, and that's basically David's last words that we have recorded. Before we continue on there, I do want to look at two prakim of Tehillim that kind of highlight how we're supposed to bring this light of Hashem into the world, what the Beit Midrash is all supposed to be all about. I think at this point I'm going to stop here. And any comments?
Very interesting.
I think it's interesting in the just this connection to what we call Kabbalah and exactly how that what it means.
Right.
And how much do you
yeah,
see
how,
that?
You know, how can you express, you know, words that are finite about something that's infinite, you know?
Right.
You can't.
So I think that's what, you know, you hear the poetry and you know it's beyond, it's words trying to express what's beyond words, you know.
Right. So I will say right now, that's where we're going next with the idea of its non-rational, non-sensory experience or feeling is primary and immediate objects of the outside the self.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to talk about that and Tehillim as a way of trying to express that. You can't say it in prose. You got to say it in poetry. So even us, you know, harsh left-brain rationalists have to appreciate the poetry at some point because there are no words for that sort of thing. And I would say that that's true of these ideas she wrote in all Kabbalah as well, that it doesn't express anything about Hashem. It's expressing how we understand it. So we got to divide things up into little pieces and give words to everything there.
Right. But what a big zechut for David that he was so in touch, you know, with, you know, the creator and the creation, that he could approach putting words, you know, inspiring people.
Yes, and that's what I talk about. That so the real, real David is in Tehillim.
Yeah.
And being able to do that. Okay, I will stop.
Thank you, Danny.